Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson.
Why are you laughing again?
Why do you find this sometimes so amusing? Some weeks I do. So I don't know. Not even I know
anymore.
Said off. Depends what
Chris,
mood I'm in.
Chris
I'm
said off air that he needed a wee-wee, so that's why this show's going to be 10 minutes long, because he needs the loo. A lot of time for that.
Secrets revealed. Hey, Chris.
Big news in my world.
Yes.
I've managed to locate, or rather, of your fine fans / aficionados, managed to locate the Lotte Coolish account. And I've every time somebody sends me a picture of Coolish, I've started just sending it their way. Notice me, senpai. I've had nothing. I've sent like 20 pictures of people eating Coolish. 20 Coolishes, money in the bank for Lotte. But are they getting back to me? Are they even replying? No, they're not. Notice me.
I think they're probably annoyed by a weird pronunciation of Lotte. Lotte.
Yeah. Well, it's double T though, isn't it? How would you say it? Just Lotte.
I just say Lotte. But then I don't
people
know how
get
it's
upset
pronounced.
How you
it's
say
a Korean
Kobe.
Name,
oh,
isn't
right,
it?
Okay.
Lotte's Korean company.
Right.
So I'm not sure.
Oh, well.
But given Korea and Japan are currently in some kind of trade war for no apparent reason other than nationalistic reasons, I don't know how much Lotte wants to promote Coolish in Japan now anyway. So your prospects are even further
like
down
their
the toilet.
So they put like I think they've got like a blackcurrant flavour or something, and they put it on a picture of an orchard. And they're just hanging, all these bloody Coolishes hanging from the trees. Oh, it's lovely, it is. It's bloody lovely.
Bloody lovely. Big news in the world of vlogging and Japan. Did you hear about this? This PewDiePie, the one and only PewDiePie, has bought a house in Japan. People have been bombarding me all week about it, because I live in Japan, and thus I'm affected by it. I've got one here from Anna in Tokyo. He says, "Hey, Chris and Pete, I wanted to hear your thoughts on PewDiePie buying a house in Japan. Do you think he's going to hurt or help the J-Vlog community, the Japan vlogging community? Cheers, Anna in Tokyo." I don't know. I think it's not going to really make any difference. PewDiePie has come to Japan quite a few times now, and he rarely makes videos while he's here. But even if he did, I wouldn't see it as like he's infringing on my territory or anything like that. Quite the opposite. You know, the more vloggers there are in Japan, the more it grows the pie in general. A lot of people find my videos through other J-Vloggers, right? So if PewDiePie made videos in Japan, it'd probably benefit me, to be honest, in that sense. They might see my videos more. So I'd welcome it with open arms.
I guess he does a lot of his videos inside a studio anyway, so it's not like he goes out and about.
Yeah.
He knows the most efficient way to make cash is to do videos inside. So,
wish I learned that a long time ago.
Exactly. It's a bit annoying about Pewds because, watching his stuff, you know, back in the day and to that extent now, you sort of watch him and go, you know what? He's really good. But it seems he's secretly, he keeps on, you know, expressing some secretly sort of problematic views, using some problematic language. And it's kind of, it's a shame that he's clearly sees a lot of his power as from the right hand side of things. He's the bit of a darling of the alt right, or not even just the alt-right, just the right. It seems it's very disappointing, I think, in many ways.
I have no idea. I mean, I don't really know a great deal about PewDiePie. I've only watched a handful of his videos. He seems like a nice bloke, old Felix. We have a mutual friend. Do you know Joey the Anime Man?
I saw him do the cool dude I did
cycling with. And he gave you the bike when you joined the cycle, right? With the pillow on it and all the other crazy crap on that bicycle. But he's friends with PewDiePie and they make videos together whenever he comes over, I think.
But he's a bit of a kingmaker, isn't he? But it just seems like he's just constantly, you know, points people in the direction of, you know, anti-Semitic anime reviews, and it's just, you know, gives the old wink and a nod to some pretty unacceptable elements in the world. So yeah, I don't know.
Sounds like you don't like.
No, but the thing is, I really like the stuff.
Awkward,
but then
for
it's
the
just...
one day when I collab with him, which will definitely not happen. I'll be like, my friend Pete doesn't
choose,
like you.
Can't choose your friends of friends.
God knows what will happen. Maybe he'll slag off Absolute Radio.
Oh no!
In a podcast.
Oh no! Please don't.
I don't know, but I don't know. Whatever happens, PewDiePie has got a house in Japan.
I imagine he diversifies his housing profile. I mean, I'm sure he's got houses in most countries in the world. He's that loaded.
He's worth $30 million. What I do know is, I don't think I could ever justify buying a house in Japan. It seems like a bad investment, because unlike the UK and other countries where property goes up in price and is a good investment, in Japan, because they are made
sticks.
Of paper and wood most of the time, and lolly sticks, coolish, the price kind of doesn't go anywhere. It kind of goes down. So not a great investment, but there you go. He has a dream. He's hit his dream. He's got a house in Japan. What's your dream, Pete Donaldson?
Well, I mean, I think my dream is to own a house. And people sort of say, well, you rent. It's a very British thing. To want to own your own house, and a lot of Europeans just rent their entire life, and I think, but they always sort of say like, "Oh, Pete, well, you know, if you wanted to knock through that wall, you could do." And I was going, "I'll probably do it anyway, whether I'm renting or not." And also, to be honest, if I was living in Japan and I owned a house, it would be really easy to knock through a wall because I'd just use a knife.
Worrying scene there.
Here's Johnny.
What a great scene that would be. That could be your sequel for your next video. You're just chiselling the wall down in your Japanese house. A thing that probably never happened.
We had a leak in the bathroom a few months ago, and there was water coming through the ceiling, and I was like, oh, there's water coming through the ceiling. So I just got a knife and just opened up the ceiling with a knife. There's nothing more satisfying than stabbing the fuck out your ceiling. Take that to the bank.
I don't know how to follow that up. It's turning into the Home Improvement podcast with Pete Donaldson. Get a knife and stab your ceiling. Unbelievable. We turn our attention now to the fax machine. This week, we have got a fax machine special, reading out your questions and stories, ladies and gentlemen. What's the first one, Pete?
It's from Tizel. Hi, Tizel. From Singapore. Tizel. Beautiful name, beautiful part of the world.
Fantastic.
I love your podcast with Donald Peterson. I'm going in December to Tokyo and my mum hits crowded places. Any suggestions? Oh, God.
Let's rewind. Donald Peterson. I don't know if that's an honest mistake or the best name I've ever heard.
I sound like a member of the alt-right with a name like Donald Peterson.
Donald Peterson.
Tizel is going in December to Tokyo and Tizel's mum hates crowded places. Any suggestions? I mean, Christ.
Maybe don't go to Tokyo.
She'll get used to it.
Yeah. I don't like crowded places either. There's certain points. Tokyo's not too bad. It depends where you go. Shinjuku Station, Tokyo Station and Shibuya Station are the big three places to avoid. Shinjuku Station, of course, is the most busiest, is that grammatically correct? I don't know. It's the busiest station on the planet, though. I know that much, with several million people passing through it every single day. So avoid Shinjuku Station. I get lost in there for days, even after 8 years of passing through it. Just avoid bottlenecks in Tokyo. Weekends are busier, and rush hour after 5 p.m. 5 p.m. till 7 p.m. is really busy, and I avoid travelling in Tokyo or major cities around that time. So you can do Tokyo without avoiding the crowds, but you just it's a case of timing and avoiding those three stations. Other than that, it's not too bad, generally. But I mean, what I do at the weekend is I stay inside and only go out during weekdays. So my advice there.
Habit, boy.
Got one from Don. It says, "Hey Chris and Pete, I'm Don from Los Angeles. My second trip to Japan is coming up next week, and I'm still trying to figure out where to go. I arrive in Tokyo and leave from Osaka. At first, I was going to get a JR pass for $270, but now I'm thinking of booking a flight to Kyushu. At first, I was going to Hiroshima, but they're working on Itsukushima Shrine, so it's probably not worth seeing it. Then I was thinking Kanazawa, but the weather doesn't seem that great the first week of December either. So now I've kind of settled on Kagoshima. I budgeted $270 for travel costs. If you had a 10-day trip, what city would you sandwich between Tokyo and Kyoto? And Pete, I'm coming for you if the Coolish fails to meet expectations. Keep up the great work, guys. Don. The ball's in your part where, Pete.
Yeah.
Coolish expectations. Well. 10 days is not that much time. I guess if you're gonna go to Tokyo, Osaka and Kyoto, 10 days is perfect for all three. But you're gonna be pushing it, especially if you want to go to Kagoshima, which is really far out the way, unless you just fly down there for the day and come back the next day, which you might be able to do for $270, given that Japan's now got some low-cost airline carriers. Doable, definitely doable, but it depends. You know, how much time do you want to enjoy yourself and have fun? Personally, if I had a 10-day trip and I was going to Tokyo, Osaka and Kyoto, I'd probably just stick to those three and just enjoy it and not travel too much. But if you take Osaka and Kyoto out of the equation and you want to try somewhere a little bit different, then I would do Tokyo, Hiroshima, Matsuyama in Shikoku and Kagoshima. Mm. And you can do that route by boat, weirdly enough. You go from Tokyo to Hiroshima by train or plane, then get a ferry from Hiroshima to Matsuyama on Shikoku, and then get another ferry from Matsuyama to Kagoshima and then fly back from Kagoshima. And that would be my route, to be honest. That's what I would do. I think it'd be a little bit more fun and unconventional.
It would be a bit cheaper, I guess, for the ferries and stuff, but they do take a long time.
Yeah.
Well, I was looking at the ones from like the south bit of the island, from Kyushu up to I think the port of Kobe. I think you could get a ferry there.
That you could do that.
But you can do overnight trips, which is pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. But no, that's what I'd recommend. Yeah. I wouldn't rule out Hiroshima just because Itsukushima Shrine's being redone. Obviously, Itsukushima Shrine is on Miyajima Island. And if you don't want to go for the shrine, then just don't go to the island and maybe just spend some more time in Hiroshima. The city still has value. You know, it's got the A-bomb dome, it's got the atomic bomb museum, it's got incredible nightlife. And I think it might have pizza vending machines
nice.
Still. I'm not sure. The legacy of the pizza vending machine, which may or may not be there. I haven't had anyone, as we mentioned, the saga of the pizza vending machine. Hiroshima got the world's first, or Japan's first, pizza vending machine. We went there, put it in a video. A few weeks later, lots of people complained to me that it had gone. I've heard nothing recently, and I think one person did say it was there. So do that. Go there, Dom. Look at a pizza vending machine in Hiroshima. That'll make your trip complete.
Definitely. Definitely. The pizza that they made did look bloody lovely, to be fair, even though it was made by a weird robot that lived in a box.
A weird robot that lived in a box.
We got a message from Josh from the UK. Hey, Chris and Pete, love the channel and this podcast as always. Thanks, Josh from the UK. I visited Japan for a month last year doing the standard route and went off the beaten track a few times with my friends. I'm half Taiwanese, with Japanese style tattoos down my arms. When I walked around Tokyo and Osaka with a t-shirt showing my tattoos, I felt like people would avoid standing near me or would look very obviously away from me in the street. When I covered up my tattoos, I felt like they stopped. Was this all in my head? Do people genuinely associate my tattoos with organised crime? As I don't look too dissimilar from some of the locals, I felt extremely conscious and kept my tattoos covered for most of the month I was there. Keep the good work, Josh from the UK. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, people put two and two together, or rather in this case three and five, and make 15, but
tattoos always comes up, one of the most popular queries in the fax machine. There's always several
every week.
If we did
this podcast like 20 years ago, there just wouldn't be quite so many tattoos kicking around. Because when I first got my tattoo, not many people had many tattoos. It just wasn't a thing. People go to tattoo shops nowadays and just go, fill me arms up, put shit on my head.
I think Josh's problem is just the fact he looks Asian, perhaps. Some Yakuza aren't Japanese, right? There's people from China,
Korea,
and Taiwan, I think, as well.
The whole movement was from there, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I think if you are Asian, then you run the risk of maybe being associated with the Yakuza more. So that's maybe why it happened. I don't know. It could have been in his head. I think if you're just a foreigner in general, walking around Japan with tattoos, it's fine. The main problem is if you go to a hot spring, of course, or some public, like a government building where there's government people, you want to keep them hidden. And a lot of teachers working here have to keep them concealed as well. But as a tourist, I wouldn't let it kind of stand in your way. But if as an Asian with tattoos, then you probably do run the risk of having more people associate you with being with the Yakuza. So just bear that in mind.
As an Asian.
Not that there'll be any ramifications, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Oi, oi, oi.
I got one from Simon. It says, "Hey, Chris and Pete, was listening to the latest podcast and Pete made the comment on buses. Buses not having seatbelts, and I had to jump to explain why. When was that?
I don't know, but
if
he had to jump to explain why, he should be wearing seatbelts, shouldn't he?
The reason seatbelts are needed in cars is because when you crash, the car suddenly stops, but you maintain the velocity until you collide with something, and so the seatbelt is there to anchor you to the car. Buses, being so large and heavy, do not require seatbelts, because if you were to crash into another car, the bus would barely slow down because it was significantly bigger, and thus the passengers on the bus would feel significantly smaller impact from the crash. Due to this, seatbelts are not necessary. Thanks, Simon." To that I say, what if your bus goes off a cliff?
But
where's your seatbelt
there? I do agree with Simon. I think that's an excellent point. I have seen seatbelts on buses, but that's an excellent point. You're right. They are the kings of the road. Come at me, bro.
There you go. A little bit of a detour there.
Like it.
Glad we cleared that up, though.
Email from Amir from Washington, D.C. "Hey, Chris and Pete. Hope this message reaches you in both good spirits. Can't tell you how much listening to the Boronger Band podcast uplifts my mood when stuck in traffic." A lot of traffic where you're from, Amir from Washington, D.C. "I often relive fond memories of the trip I took earlier this year while listening to your podcast. Speaking of that, let me tell you the most bizarre thing that happened in my first 24 hours in Japan. My wife and I stopped by a konbini on our way to Kyoto station, and I got some small snacks. After a while walking around, we finished the snacks and were looking for a waste bin as well as a restaurant to have some real food. We spent a really long time looking for a waste bin to no avail. We knew that finding one would be difficult from watching one of your videos, but little did we know how difficult it would be. Eventually, we found a restaurant and decided to have our meal there. When we walked in, and to our surprise, we found a waste bin. We were so excited to get rid of the trash in our hands, it felt like we were on a quest and we'd finally reached our goal. We threw our trash away and sat down in our seat. Little did we know how big of a mistake this was. There was a lady in the kitchen who saw us throw the trash away in her bin, and she was having none of that. She kept pointing to the bin and saying, no, as if we had broken the biggest rule in Japan. We'd only sat down, and when this lady proceeds to reach in the waste bin, take out our trash and hand it back to my wife, who had her mouth open from the shock. Needless to say, we were both speechless, to say the least. Then the waitress comes by and takes our order as if nothing had happened. At this point, we were both hungry, so we just ordered our food and decided to eat quickly so we can leave right away. We finished our meal, paid for it, and we were standing up to get ready to leave. We were still putting on our jackets, the waitress comes back and points to the trash as if to remind us not to forget it. It was hands down the most bizarre interaction I've had regarding trash. Is it this common where people reach into a waste bin to give you back trash that you've thrown away? Is there a reason behind this? It's been 7 or 8 months since our trip, and I'm still lost as to what happened on that day. I'm here from Washington, D.C. Trash restaurateur botherer.
Ugh. That is so awkward. Beyond words.
Got me in recycling, hasn't it?
I love that. Is this common where people reach into a waste bin to give back trash you've thrown away? Yes. It's a popular part of Japanese culture. I think what happened there is, it might be something to do with recycling. I think it might just be sometimes people don't like you using their trash bin, just walking in and using their trash. I can't speak from experience. It's never happened to me. I think Amir just got unlucky, really, and maybe found somewhere where the shop staff were a bit annoying. If it was me, I would have walked in and said, "Oh, sorry, do you have somewhere a bin I can use?" And maybe they would have liked that. Maybe it was the act of just walking in and using their bin without asking for permission. That's all I can think of. I mean, I walked into a hairdresser's today, got my hair cut,
went pretty well.
I walked in with an empty bottle of water. And I was like, "Oh, sorry, do you guys have a bin that you can put that in?" And they went, "Yeah, sure." And that was the end of that.
Yeah.
I didn't put it in a bin. And then someone fished it out and went, take your bloody bottle of water and sit down. Let's have a haircut. So, yeah, I don't know. I think just a weird place. Maybe they didn't like foreigners. I don't know. Maybe they didn't like foreigners. How do you read that story? How do you interpret it?
I think it was probably just a recycling situation. That was a bag for very specific bits of recycling, and the very fastidious with their recycling, aren't they, in Japan? Because the rules are there.
They are, but also there's a massive problem with there being not enough trash receptors or trash bins or dustbins around cities, particularly Tokyo. You know, I can spend all day just going around looking for a bin. That should just be a video one day. It should just be me swearing relentlessly as I walk around Tokyo trying to find a bloody dustbin.
But it's obviously all down to the ricin attacks back in the day. But it's interesting, like Japan, it was explained to me, I think you might have told me about the bloke who accidentally jammed a cigarette into a child's face as he was walking down the street, so now you're not allowed to smoke on the street. That was certainly a catalyst for the no smoking on the street rule in Japan. I mean, you can smoke everywhere.
I didn't know that.
Somebody told me that it was all down to one situation where a child was blinded or certainly burned in the face by a bloke with a cigarette, and that was one of the catalysts why you're not allowed to just walk around the streets with a tab in your mouth.
That sounds terrifying. I don't want to be burnt in the face by a cigarette.
Don't be eye level.
Nobody deserves that.
Don't be cigarette level when you're walking around. Oh. But I think there's stuff like that, but there's also situations where you're... I just like the fact that the Japanese seem to move quite quickly when there's a problem like that. You know, that obviously decision got made very quickly. The bins situation obviously got made very quickly after the ricin attack. So
Another example of that is drink driving. You know, in the UK and most countries, you can kind of drive after having a little drink or like a beer or a glass of wine. In Japan, there's a zero tolerance policy. And if you ever come here and drive, make sure you've not drunk anything in the last 12 hours. Or otherwise, if you get caught, you could be put in prison, you could be deported. It can get very ugly very fast. And the reason that happened is because I think in Fukuoka... somewhere in South Japan back in the early 2000s, a drunk driver knocked a car with an entire family off a bridge and killed an entire family. And that event was the catalyst for the government just basically outlawing drink driving altogether overnight.
It's perverse,
they do take things very seriously. If something like that goes wrong.
They're quite live. I mean, you look at, you know, how difficult it's been to get rid of, you know, assault weaponry in America and stuff after a shooting every fucking second day, really. It's incredible how slowly things move because of lobbyists and stuff. The lobbyists don't seem to have quite so much of a handle on things in Japan, which is very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. But they move with force. They move with force and quickly.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Sam says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. My name's Sam. Female, laugh out loud. Glad we cleared that up. And I'm from Wisconsin. I've been listening to the podcast for a while now. In addition to watching all of Chris's YouTube videos, all of the content was super helpful for my first trip to Japan back in April, and I owe you guys a lot. Thank you, Sam. That's awesome. I'm going back to Japan in March this year and had a question about ordering food. Just about every video and article out there recommends that the way to order food is to point and say, kore, o negai shimasu. However, just pointing to something and saying, this please, in English, would be really weird. We'd normally say, I'd like this, or can I have this, or something along those lines. I was wondering if it really is normal to say kore in Japan, or if it's just something foreigners are taught to make it easier to order food. I've actually learned a fair amount of Japanese since my last visit, but I still see this suggestion for ordering food or buying things everywhere. How would you guys normally order, and is there a way to sound a little less, hey, I'm an American who sucks at Japanese? Thanks for all the great content, guys. Sam." Yeah, no, it's fine to say kore o negai shimasu. It's fine. That's kind of natural. I mean, usually the only addition I would add to that is you would say, like, one or two. So if I want one beer, maybe I'd point at the menu and be like, kore shitotsu o negai shimasu. Or if I want one thing, I'd say shitotsu, kore shitotsu o negai shimasu. Other than that, though, it's fine. Kore o negai shimasu is fine. Don't worry about it.
Hitotsu. You won't be judged for it. More like, mate. I'm a real beer monster.
Two beers. Yeah, no, it's fine, though. I definitely had the same issue myself, though. The trick is, when learning Japanese, try not to think in English too much, what it would sound like. You know, you have to remember that the languages and the cultures are very different. It's almost like starting from scratch. If you start comparing the language to English, then it's a real hurdle to learning. And using phrases in daily life in Japan, like yoroshiku o negai shimasu, it's really hard to translate yoroshiku o negai shimasu, but it kind of means thank you and have favour on me.
Please be nice to me.
You say it to people you're going to have business dealing with.
It's my favourite phrase because it literally
uses that several times a day.
I know, but it just literally means please be nice. Oh dear.
Don't be nice to people.
Never be nice to me unless you've got a cool issue, and. Yeah, nomimas to drink. So like nomitai, is it nomitai or nomakai? I always forget. I'd like to.
Nomitai. Or you add tai on the end.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Tabatai is, nomitai. Is I want to eat. Nomitai is I want to drink. So just say that. Nomitai biru.
Just say that. Nomitai.
Biru nomitai.
Pete's dodgy Japanese. This would be a great YouTube channel. You just teaching how you feel Japanese
you
should
be. You
better
speak English, Chris. Don't give me the big licks.
Cheeky bastard.
Edmund from Leeds. Hello, Edmund. I was doing my usual daily procrastination of watching band interviews and came across the one and only Muse chatting to me, Pete Donaldson, having a good old chin wag with my favourite band. It was like a meeting of worlds. I had no idea this is what was meant by introducing Pete as a top London radio DJ. I've got an interview, bloody Blink-182 tomorrow. I quite like the band. I quite like pop punk. And I certainly like Matt Skiba's previous outfit. But, Matt is not a talker. So I'm not looking forward to that, to be quite frank.
Oh, God. I love watching you doing interviews with famous rock stars who are really hard to talk to. This seems to happen. I love your interview with Liam Gallagher, where he looks like he's going to punch someone in the face.
He's showing off.
He talks about how much he hates Idris Elba. because Idris Elba took his hat or knocked
Don't
his hat off his head or something.
It.
Who was the other one?
Ashcroft.
Who's the guy that
difficult
from
one,
the Verve?
Difficult one with Richard Ashcroft. Yeah, he was not.
Go on
happy.
YouTube, ladies and gentlemen. Type in Pete Donaldson, Liam Gallagher, or Pete Donaldson, Richard Ashcroft, and it'll just make your day. It's just amazing.
My question is, this is Edmund, my question relating to this is, have you ever capitalised on Pete's connections to unwillingly feature a celebrity cameo on the A Bronze Man channel or podcast? If you're an American, I'd expect nothing less. However, us Brits tend to assume that approaching someone could be considered as annoying harassment. Well, we have, haven't we? This is kind of the catalyst of this whole thing happening, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose to some extent. Have we ever exploited you, Pete? I suppose the only time
Cranston,
was Brian Cranston. Not enough. We haven't exploited you enough. You got Brian Cranston to shout out the podcast, but what have you done for me lately?
I was supposed to be interviewing Jesse from El Camino / Breaking Bad last week, but again, he cancelled. They're running scared. They're running scared, Chris.
Really? He cancelled on you?
Yeah, he cancelled all the interviews, so must have cancelled some a lot of press, but sometimes happens. I've interviewed him before. Nice chap, liked him.
God, imagine if we'd got him as well. Could have got the whole Breaking Bad team, the whole cast of Breaking Bad to shout out the Abroad Japan podcast. Life goals. But we did talk about the other week how both Pete and I have had interactions with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Go back and listen to that if you want to work out or hear how that happened. It's quite a random situation. We've got one last one from Drea from Chicago. It says, hey, Chris and Donnie.
Donnie,
no less. I love how often your name changes.
It's
depending
incredible,
on.
Isn't it?
I love we've started with Donald Peterson. Now you're
several
just Donnie, your old
and
nickname.
A very changeable name.
Yeah, I mean, you are the villain from Far Cry 5. So
I'll take it.
I've been listening to your podcast a lot lately, and last night I had a dream where, out of nowhere, I started ranting and raving to anyone who would listen that I had had enough. I remember saying, that's it, I'm going to Japan. Everyone else has been there except me. Thank you for pushing me over the edge in my dream. Love your videos, Chris. Love the podcast, Chris and Pete. I think both of your accents are adorable. Fan for life, Drea from Chicago. There you go. The Born Japan podcast. Product placement in your dreams. And it works.
I'll take it. Well done, Drea.
Yeah. Come on over, Drea. Join the fun. But for now, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Keep the stories and questions coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week, and we'll be back next Wednesday. Bye.
Donnie out.
Donnie out. That sounds disgusting.
I've got my Donnie out.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.